Okay, we're starting a new parak, bottom of Lamed of Beis. This parak is going to be talking about various cases where a person makes a neder of nezirus based on a mistaken premise. So first, a mistaken premise. He thought something was true when really it's not. So before we get into that, we have to deal with the first Mishnah over here, and the Gemara on it are going to deal with more generally the matter of declaring a neder of hektish based on a mistaken premise, based on a taurus. Because nezirus was before is a type of hektish. You've been machtish yourself, basically. So the Mishnah says, this shamar emim hektish taurus hektish. The shamar says that if you declare something hektish based on a mistake, it's still hektish. Whereas the civil says it's not. Case that, what does this mean? Omar, suppose the person says, the black ox that comes out of my house first, hareo hektish, then that ox will be hektish. The other love one, and what came out first was a white one. So at this stage, and when we begin the discussion of the Gemara, we're going to assume that he may not have known whether he thought the black one was going to come out first. He thought the black one was going to come out first. In the end, a white one came out first. So Beshamer will say that it is hektish. Now, what do we mean by it? There's two ways you can look at it. Either the it means the white ox, because that one actually came out of the house first, or it can mean the first black ox that comes out. So all the white ones, nothing. We ignore them. Among the black oxen, the first one that comes out, that will be the one that Mishama says is hektish. That thing we'll take up the details of that. Well, Vasilla in hektish, whereas Vasilla says it's not, because he thought that a black one was going to come out first, and it didn't, so hektish starts. And then Vasilla says that's not hektish. Similarly, dinner zav yala biyodivishin, what if he says the first gold dinner that comes up in my hand, hareu hektish, then it'll be hektish, the ola shal kesef, and instead he picked up a silver one. Again, the shamarim hektish, the shamarim hektish, same thing. And then you have the same consideration over here. Do we mean that the silver dinner, the first one that he picked up, is the one that becomes hektish, or do we mean the first gold one later on he's going to keep on picking out more and more until he reaches the first gold one, and that will be the one that's hektish? And a third case, chavis shoyayin, shatala biyadu yoshayna, harei hektish. What if a person says, the first barrel of wine that will come up in my hands, harei hektish, then it will be hektish, but also shal shemen, and instead he picks up first a barrel of oil, same thing, that's shamma hektish, but it's a lama and hektish. Why we need three cases, we'll talk about it. Why we need three different cases, we'll talk about it at the end of the Gemara. We wouldn't necessarily know from the other one. Having said that, though, there is a very, very interesting and deep explanation from Reb Levick, that of his father, in Teres Levi Yitzchak, on this Mishnah and the entire and large parts of the entire Gemara over here. He explains it's a big arichos, and there's a tremendous amount of Kabbalah in it, naturally. But he explains that the three things that we have in our Mishnah all represent various aspects of Gvura. One is Gvura, the Shem represents Gvura, the Dinar Zahog represents Malchus, the Chavis represents Bina. So each one of them is on the Gvura side of things, and therefore each one of them has to be brought into Kedusha. Each one of them, according to the Shama, has to be brought into Hektish, namely you bring it on over to the side of Chachma. And he explains that, and it's quite interesting, he points out, if you take among two of them, if you take the Gematria of the word Chavis, and add the word Elakim to it, where Elakim represents Gvura, you get Shur. That's showing, in other words, that Shur is a stronger manifestation of Shem Elakim and Gvura than the Chavis is. The Shur itself is Gvura, and the other ones are, yeah. So we said the Shamai is hektish. Although the Mishnah said that the Shamai says that in all these three cases, the thing is hektish. My time out of Bishamai, so what's Bishamai's reasoning? The reason is the often tchil of hektish misayf hektish. We learn out the beginning of hektish from the end of hektish. The beginning of hektish means when you first declare something hektish. That's called tchil of hektish. Soif hektish is the term that they're using for tmura. So if you have an animal for a korban, you have this animal was a korban, and you're saying instead of exchanging it for this animal, you're not creating a new kedusha. The kedusha from this animal in a way gets transferred to this one, only it doesn't. Plus it cancels you that the original one stays hektish as well. But you're not creating a whole new kedusha where none was before. Therefore it's called soif hektish. Soif hektish is the tmura then. Tchilas hektish would be the plain old case when a person says this animal should be hektish. So Beis Shammai says we can learn tchilas hektish, the case of our Mishnah, from soif hektish, the case of tmura. Ma tmura afilu b'tov. So when it comes to tmura, just like it would be effective, even if what you said was a mistake. So for example, that not by mistake, we don't mean that you didn't know you're not allowed to do tmura. That's a different matter. That's true. You were smazed. Toast over here would mean, for example, you meant to, you have three animals in front of you, one hektish, two are pulling. You meant to say this one will be tmura, and instead you said this one is tmura, and it works. So therefore, you see that in hektish it works, even if it was a toast. Same thing about tchilas hektish. Then you meant to be makfish one animal over here. Instead, you meant the black ox will come out first, and that'll be the one you makfish. Instead, a white one came out first, so the white one will be the one that.
Where do they take that from?
Because both of them are types of hektish. Both of them are an animal is becoming kaddish where it wasn't before. So it's true, it's not exactly the same because one of them is there was no kedusha at all there and now you took kedusha and put it on the animal. Here it's like you're transferring it from one to the other, sort of sharing it from one to the other, but still the Shana field is similar enough. Ma tmura afilu b'toros, hafektish afilu b'toros. Whereas the civil would argue, hanimila tmura. Yes, it's true by tmura that works if there was a toros. Avalachuse hektish b'toros loy machzinen. But there is a difference between placing down, achusi means placing down, hektish in the first place. To actually create an existence of a messias of hektish where there wasn't before can't be involving a toast. Yes, if the hektish was already created and now you're just extending it to another animal, yes, even that can even work with a toast.
That's what I meant.
Okay, so that's the Tzilla's argument, but the Shammai doesn't accept that. Again, by the way, going back to the Blazing, he points out that Shammai and the Tzilla reflect ultimately the Pnimius and Yonim, they reflect Leah and Rachel. So therefore, the Shammai field you can learn from Tzimura because Leah herself was a Tzimura. Lavan switched him around. He was supposed to be Rachel and he switched her out for Leah. No, but the point is that therefore the Shammai has a certain affinity with Leah and therefore they feel that you can use Tzimura as a basis for this concept of hektish toast. He also explains that Leah is Tzimura and Rachel is Hasadim, yeah. Yeah. So therefore they feel that you can use that as a basis for hektish toast, yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks, "All Beis Shammai, ma yivu omah harezev tachazev hafiyah yoyim." Now let's consider, according to Beis Shammai, suppose a person were to say, "I'm not declaring this animal a tmura right now. Here's the original animal. Here's the original carbon. Here's the animal I want to exchange it for. I'm not making that exchange take effect as of now. I'm declaring it now at 9 o'clock in the morning. I only want it to take effect at noon, at 12. At 9 o'clock, nothing happens. The decision is made, but it only takes effect 3 hours later. It doesn't become a tmura at 9 o'clock. It only when it reaches 12 o'clock does it become a tmura. Which would mean, for example, during those 3 hours, let's say, it has no kedusha at all. You'd be allowed to work with it. You wouldn't get mechayev malchus, etc. On the contrary, the Torah says you're not allowed to make a tmura. Declaring a tmura is also in a Torah anyway, and you get malchus for it. Yeah. The pasuk says you're not allowed to exchange, you're not allowed to switch out one animal for the other. If you did, well, you're over tmura for Yehudah Kodesh. The Torah doesn't say any greater punishment for it, therefore it's just malchus. So only when it comes noontime will it become a tzmura. The same thing over here. Why are you telling me? So let's go back to our assumption over here. So you said the first black ox. You said the black ox that comes out of the house first. Instead a white one came out first. Why should we assume that we're ignoring the word that he said black, and therefore assuming that the white one, since it came out first, will be hektish? Why? In the case when he says tomorrow, it'll become tomorrow only in the middle of the day, we don't ignore what he says. We take what he says at face value. Fine, until 12 o'clock, it's not a tomorrow. So why should we say over here that we're deleting the word shachar that he said and letting the white one be hektish? Not you should wait till it comes out, but you shouldn't say just because the white one came out first, therefore the white one is hektish. He said a black one. Amar Papa, l'chach nemerushin l'chshiyet derushin. So our Papa says, you're right, we have to, all of our assumption up until this point has been mistaken. And by the way, the Rosh and Tosfos point out, usually the Gemara then would say, Ella Amar Papa. So Ella meaning, however, never mind what we said until now, let's start a new train of thought. But here, since there was no Amora mentioned until now, then there's no reason to say Ella. Ella would be, if one named Amora had been discussing this, and then we said that doesn't work out, then we'd say Ella Amar Papa, but no. What was the purpose of him saying Rishon? He means when it comes out, first. In other words, Hitaka doesn't mean the white one if it happens to come out first. He does mean the first black one. That's the he means the first one. So the question is Vashar Shachakama, fine, but didn't he say black ox? The answer, and me like skin in the left land high. And couldn't we be talking about a case where this person only has one black ox? So then saying Shur Shachar Shayat Rishon is meaningless. It can't mean the first one of all the black oxen, because there is only the one. And the answer is no. No, as a matter of fact, the Mishnah could be talking about a case where he has two or three. So if he only has one black ox, then Taka, yeah, we are going to have to ignore what he said about black because the first one that comes out is going to be hektish according to Mitz Shama no matter what. But if he has more than one black one, then we can say that he means whichever black one comes out first, out of all the black ones, out of the two or three or however many there are, is going to be the one that's hektish. And then we don't have to modify what he's saying at all. We can ignore the white ones. We don't have to take the word shachar out of the statement. So then it is similar to the case of tomorrow, but it's tomorrow in the middle of the day. Where the silver would argue, and can't sheyotza barishin mibayilai. If that's all he meant, he should just say whichever one came out the first one. Barishin means whichever one came out ahead of the others. If that's what he meant, I have three black oxen. Whichever of those three walks out first, I'm going to declare hektish. Then he should have said whichever one comes out barishin at the head of the other two. By saying Rishon, he seems to be saying whichever one actually comes out first, that no previous ox has come out before it.
First among all of them.
And since the first one that came out was not black, then it's hektish toast. And therefore, it doesn't work.
What would he answer about
the other Kabbalah. I mean, so the Silla would argue, the Silla is more from the Shodesh of Rachel, they would say that you can't prove anything from Tumura. Also, by the way, I should mention, and Leibig mentions also in that connection, so what's the particular thing about saying that the ox that comes out first from the house, what's negay of the house or not? So again, the pnimis inyanim is because the house represents chesed. As long as the ox is in there, then the gvura is not so revealed, so therefore there's no need to schlep it into the rishus of hektish. Once it comes out of the house, once it's out in the outside world and ready to cause negativity, then you need to schlep it into hektish. Okay. So Rav Mibarnish, that was the name of the city he came from, asked Rav Ashi, what do you mean, hektish petos? What do you mean, this isn't hektish petos? Hektish b'kavanah. It comes out that he has kavanah. Whatever comes out first is going to be the one that's hektish. Or, unless he has more than one black one, then whichever one of the black ones comes out first. Either way, there's a toes over here. What are you calling it? Hektish b'toes sounds like he didn't mean to make it hektish, and Bishama is saying it's hektish anyway. It sounds like, according to Bishama, the way we just explained it, he does mean one or the other, depending on the circumstances, whether he has more than one black ox or not. The answer is, You're right. It's not hektish tohus in the sense, in the classical sense of that he made a mistake and nevertheless it's hektish. We're calling it hektish tohus mishum de'atiyei le'divura kama, because his first statement is misleading. It's equivocal. It could be understood in one of two ways. Depending on, that's why we're calling it hektish tohus.
First of blanks and after of all.
Either first of all or the first of all the blanks, yeah. So because of that, we call it hektish tohus. But you're right, it's not really hektish tohus as in he didn't mean to say to say or to do what he did. Okay, well, the implication of that,
then. What difference would it make if it was really a thing?
Well, that's the point that Gemara is going to take up next. So what are we implying from that? It sounds like even Beit Shammai would not say that real hektish tohus, where you truly made a mistake, would be hektish. That's what the Gemara is going to take up now. We have other Mishnayos in our Perek that prove that Beit Shammai does hold that even real hektish tohus, where you meant to designate A and instead you designated B, that it's hektish.
That it is hektish.
If you just explain our Mishnah to say that it's not real hektish tohus, but rather we're calling it tohus because he said an equivocal statement, and it comes in, then where do you have any, then why b'chlal do we have our Mishnah in here? What is there in here about hektish tohus? That's relevant to the rest of the parak. And where do we see that? And it sounds like you're trying to argue that Beit Shammai would tack a hold that a real tohus is tack and not hektish, but we have later Mishnayos that show that they say it is. So b'hotnan, we have the next Mishnah on Amud Beis. Mishan nader ben nazir. Suppose somebody made a nether of nazirus for nishan l'chachamim. He asked the chachamim v'hitiru, and they were master him. Now let's clarify. By the way, we've learned before in the Masechta, also in Nedarim, that according to Beit Shammai, you can't be master nether on nazirus at all, because given that they're saying hektish tohus is hektish, which is what our Mishnah says, and as we're going to explain soon, that it means even a real tohus. So if a person were to
be hektish,
and when the person declares nazirus, that's also a form of hektish, because he's making himself hektish. Therefore, Beit Shammai would say, you can't do hacharas nedarim on it in the ordinary sense that you go to the chacham and you say, if I had realized such and such, then I wouldn't have made the neder. That doesn't work. What we mean, nisham chachamim itiru, means that, for example, he used an expression which the expression itself is not so clear whether it constitutes nazirus or not, like the ones we have in the first parak, for example. He said, ahay, for example, when there wasn't a nazir walking by, or, okay, that one was a weak one, whatever. There's various cases that we had over there that might or might not mean a nazir of nazirus.
The hektish really have to formulate it very clearly.
That's what we learned, that you have to have it, that's the people that are shoving, yeah, that you have to have it in mind, and you also have to say something which at least, it doesn't have to be so clearly understood, it's good enough for the yad. It's good enough with a yad, with a partial declaration, but as long as we can deduce from it what he meant. Anyway, so Mishan Nisham Banar, there was Nisham Nadam and Nazar, Nisham Lachamavi Tiru. Now, the Hosel of Ahemim of Resha. Suppose by this point he already has animals set aside for his carbonus. What do we do with them? Take the Tiru of Eder, let the animal go and pasture with all the other animals, meaning it loses its Kedusha. Now, why is it? Mepharshim asks. In the previous parak, we had the case where a woman declares nazirus and her husband is made for it, that we say the chatas has to be left for misa, and the oila and the shlomim have to be brought as oilas to shlomim. Why over here is it different? So we learned earlier in the Masechta, and we also learned in Nedarim, first of all, the issue, when a husband, we said when a chacham is matir a neder, then miyachar akar, he's completely oiker, he makes it as if there was never a neder there in the first place. The husband, we said, there was a discussion whether miyakar akar or mezis gayim. Is he also oiker like a chacham, or is he only cutting off the from now on, but up until now it was valid? So if you say mezis gayim, then it's easy to understand the difference. Up until this point, she was a nazira, because now it's cut off, as opposed to the chacham.
The chaman
would not agree with
it.
No, 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 wait, no. No, no, no. That Mishnah is Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai agrees to that.
There's a contradiction.
But that's what we're going to get to. Wait. But before, let me first finish with the contradiction between this and the previous parak. So that's one way of looking at it. If we say the husband is Megas Gaius, then that explains the difference. The Chacham is Miyaka Akar, so it's as if there was never a Nazirus here. The husband is only Megas Gaius. If we say the husband is also Miyaka Akar, which was the other possibility that Gemara brought up, then the difference is, in that case, the woman wanted to be a Nazirah. Her husband overrode her wishes and vetoed it. Here, the person himself doesn't want to be a nazir. That's why he's going to the chacham to say, I said something which could constitute a neder of nazirus, but does it or doesn't it? I'd rather it doesn't, kind of. And the chacham tells him, it's hak a nazir. You're not a nazir. So then he never meant to be a nazir in the first place. That's the difference. Anyway, so that's the Mishnah says that takes of a tit of eder. And the Mishnah continues, Amru Lahan Amru Vesilu Vishamai, Iyat the Modim Shakdish Vitoros who retains to Vitira Behedir. So Vesilu says to Vishamai that don't you agree in this case it's an example of Hekdish Toros and it's going out and pasturing? Meaning, in other words, Vishamai agrees to this halacha. They agree that in that case, the person made a declaration which might not be Nazirus. And the Chacham told them it's not Nazirus, you're not a Nazir. Beis Shammai agrees that those animals have no Kedusha. So Basilu is using that as an argument to Beis Shammai. They're saying, well, based on that, so you see there's an example of Hekdesh Toros. Even you guys agree the animal is not Hekdesh. So you see that Hekdesh Toros is not Hekdesh.
So Basilu sees that as contradiction. Beis Shammai according to them, they have to have an intent.
So no, the Mishnah will explain. We'll learn the Mishnah after Yom Kippur, but Shammai in the Mishnah goes with a different proof against the Sillel, that you have an example of Hekdesh Vitoros, which is Hekdesh. So, but for our purposes, that's not important. For our purposes, what's important is that this Hillel clearly understands that Shammai to be saying that usually Hekdesh Toros is Hekdesh. So they're asking them, how can you say that when we see that case of Nisha Lachacham, it's not. You should use that as an example for everything else that Hekdesh Toros is not Hekdesh. In other words, the animal goes out to pasture. In other words, you don't have to do anything special. It's not Hekdesh anymore. You can go and pasture it together with the rest of the animal. No, we don't mean you have to pasture it until it develops a mum, etc. That's something else. Mikwal, the Sabi Bishama Hekdesh Bitoz have a Hekdesh. So that means Bishama holds that Hekdesh Bitoz, where it was a real toes over here because he thought he was another and it turns out that he's not, is not Hekdesh. Usually they would argue it is Hekdesh. And only in that one case do they say that not. As they're arguing with the Hillel. So therefore, you see they really do hold Hekdesh Toros usually is Hekdesh. So how can you understand our Mishnah to be saying that they're not talking about Hekdesh Toros at all, but rather the Toros over here we mean is that he used a misleading expression? The answer is Elabis Hilvudikato. No. In that Mishnah, actually, what's going on over there is Beis Hillel misunderstood Beis Shammai. Sabri Taimau to Beis Shammai, Mishnah Hekdesh Petros have a Hekdesh. They thought that, why is Beis Shammai saying, for example, in our Mishnah, or in other cases, that Hekdesh Toros is Hekdesh, why is Beis Shammai saying that the first ox that came out, or the first black ox, is Hekdesh, they thought it's because Beis Shammai holds Hekdesh Toros. So they're telling them, you have a proof, you have an example where Hekdesh Toros is not Hekdesh, the case of the guy that Nisha Lachacham. But Amri Lahim Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai would answer them, Lav Mishum Hekdesh Petorosu. No, in our Mishnah, we're not saying it's Hekdesh because of Hekdesh Toros. We actually don't hold that Hekdesh Toros is Hekdesh. Ela Mishum Da'ati Yiladibur Ekama, but only because what he said in our Mishnah itself was equivocal. It could mean either the first white one or the first black one. So you still don't have a proof from our Mishnah that Beis Shammai holds that Hekdesh involving a real toes is Hekdesh. The Sillel thinks that that's what Beis Shammai means, but maybe not. Okay, still the Sabri Beis Shammai Hekdesh for toes may have a Hekdesh. Still though, you're telling me then that Beis Shammai holds that Hekdesh based on a toes is not Hekdesh. Toshma, come up with a proof from the next Mishnah in the Perek. If you have a bunch of people walking on the way, the Echad Bakimendon, one person is coming in the opposite direction, and they're still far away, they can't recognize him yet. So Reuven says, I will be a Nazir that this guy is Yochel. The Echad Amar, how do you know that Shain's a plainy? Shimon says, I will be a Nazir, that is not Yossel. Then comes Levi and says, how do you know that Shechem become Nazir? I will be a Nazir, that one of you is a Nazir, meaning he means one but not two, he means one but not both. In computeries, they call it an exclusive or. One or the other of you is a Nazir, but not both.
So
far you have three, we're going to have six altogether. We're going to have six. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yodi, Yisachar, and Zvolun. So Reuven said, I'll be a Nazir that this is Yossel. Shimon says, I'll be a Nazir that this is not Yossel. And let's clarify, by the way, we're not talking about, he's not saying I'll be a Nazir if this is Yossel. Because then you can't, in the end, we're going to say that Bishama is saying all of them are Nazir.
Because.
No, it's not, right, it's not if, it's rather because. I am so certain that that guy in the distance is Yossel that I will be a Nazir on the basis of my certainty. Shimon says the same thing. I'm so certain it's not Yossel, etc. So Levi says, I will be a Nazir based on my certainty that one but not both of you are the Zidim, which, okay, so far seems to, yeah. Then, what? Well, not necessarily. According to Basilo, we're going to say they're not. According to Basilo, they're not. They're according to Basilo, not all of them.
But these three, one of those two are right. One of these two are right.
So we're going to get to, in the Mishnah later on, we're going to get to, we'll get to the Mishnah on Amud Beis, tomorrow or whenever, after Yom Kippur, we'll deal with what Basilo holds then. But meanwhile, Bas Shammai. The fourth person says, "She'ein echad mikem nazir." The fourth person, Yehuda, says, "I will be a I'm a nazir based on my certainty that one of you is not a nazir." So he's saying the same thing as Levi, but flipping it around. Levi, you're saying that one of them definitely is a nazir. I'm saying one of them is definitely not a nazir. Next, the fifth person says, "Sheshneichem nazirim." The fifth person says, "I'm a nazir that both of you are nazirim." Both of you meaning Levi and Yehuda, the third and fourth person, because both of them are correct. One among Reuven and Shimon on the face of it. One of them is a Nazir, and one of them on the face of it is not a Nazir.
This guy's saying I'll be a Nazir.
So he's saying, I'll be a Nazir based on my certainty that among you two, Levi and Yehuda, both of you are Nazirim. And the sixth person says, Shekolchem Nazirim, I'll be a Nazir based on my certainty that all of you are Nazirim, all five of you. Bet Shammai will call him Nazirim. So Bet Shammai says all six of them have become Nazirim. Vahahaha Hekdesh B'Tosu. Now let's consider this is a case of Hekdesh Tosu, because obviously some of them, obviously they thought it was Yossel, they thought it wasn't Yossel, the case maybe not all six of them can possibly be correct.
They're a group theory.
Yeah. It's also like the famous joke, you know, where two people come to a Din Torah, to a Rav, you know, he was at one side, he says, you're right. He was at the other side, he says, you're right. The Davidson says, how can they both be right? He says, you're right too. V'chaponi kulam nazirim, and we say all six of them are nazirim according to Bas Shammai. So why? There's Torahs involved over here. The answer is Amri. They say Savri Bas Shammai hektish b'Torahs have a hektish. It's true. Bas Shammai does indeed hold that hektish b'Torahs is hektish, meaning a true Torahs. Like in that case, where among those six, necessarily some of them are making a Torahs. But in our Mishnah, not necessarily. In our Mishnah, you don't have to say that the basis for Bas Shammai's opinion is based on Torahs. It can be, which Rav Papa would explain at the beginning, and as we've been saying the whole time, that it's not a matter of toast, it's a matter of that what he said can be interpreted in one of two possible ways. If he only has one black ox, then he didn't mean the first black ox that comes out, because there's only the one. He meant the first ox that comes out regardless of the color. Or, if he has more than one black ox, then he means the first black ox ignoring all the white ones.
In other words, in according to Shema, there has to be a meaning of certainty.
But later on, which one he's referring to is equivocal, but that's the thing. We say that since what he said is something that can be interpreted in both ways, then either way, regardless of the circumstances, then something will happen, depending on whether he has one, well, to begin with, he knows whether he has one black ox or not. So whatever it is, if he's a person who only owns one black ox, then we say that what he said must mean the first ox that comes out, regardless of the color. Then we delete the black part, and then therefore the white one becomes Kaddish. If he has more than one black ox, then we don't have to delete anything. Then we say he meant the first black ox that comes out.
Obviously, I understand. He says, if he only has one ox, only one black ox, and the black one happens to woke up, then the white one, because that would be greater than the white one woke up, I understand. Say, okay, he becomes...
No, but if the black one walked out first, then Basil would agree with Hekdesh. There's no question about that. The problem is that the black one did not walk out first.
If he only has the one,
he can't invent the first black ox that comes out, because, yeah.
But that's the only one meaning.
Yeah.
Because only if there's more than one that it can be either out of all the
black. Right,
either out of all. If he has one black and then the white one walks out, it's almost obvious that the white one woke up because he's got 100 white ones, only one black one.
But not necessarily.
In other words,
So our Mishnah is Hakka, not a case of Hekdesh Toast. Later on, the case of the sixth Nazirim, that's a case of Hekdesh Toes. So yes, the Shammai does hold that Hekdesh Toes is Hekdesh, so therefore we don't have to go back to what we said, going back to what we were saying a minute ago, that the Sibyl misunderstood the Shammai in the next Mishnah. We don't have to say necessarily they misunderstood them. They understood them correctly, but on Mishnah you can't prove anything.
Now, Mishnah is a bimodal meaning, and in this case it's a unimodal.
Yeah, okay.
You cannot make two interpretations.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Once again,
okay. All that is one answer thus far. Abayomer, let's try another possibility. You're assuming all this time that the man is standing by the door of his house first thing in the morning before any of the animals have gone out yet, and he's saying the black one that comes out first, which then we can talk about whether he meant the first one in general or whether he meant the first black one. How about, let's try another possibility. Suppose he's standing by his house in the middle of the afternoon. Tiara literally means, is the same as tzarai, it means noon. When the animals are already out pasturing. But Omar, and what he says is, shur shachar shayasa mibayt zirishin lehevah hekdesh. He says, he's talking about past tense now. We assumed all this time that it's shayase in future tense. It's not. It's shayasa in Rabbi is saying. It's shayasa in past tense. The first black ox that went out will be hekdesh. Now, the Omar... and they told him, actually, Laban Nafa. Actually, the white one went out first. Now, what happened? What makes him think that the black one went out first? So Tosfos and the Rosh explain, for example, a person who owns a bunch of animals, after a while, he recognizes their footsteps. Different animals walk differently. So when the animals were leaving in the morning, he heard what he thought was the hoofbeat, those are the footsteps, of the black one first. So now, later in the day, after they've all gone out to pasture, he says, I can tell based on what I heard that the black one went out first. That one should be hektish. Now people came and tell him that no, you misheard.
That's
it's the white one that went out first.
That's a real time.
That's a real time. Exactly. That's yeah. So they tell him actually the white one went out first. So he tells them, oh, you know what? He have your dinah to love enough. So if I had known the white one had gone out first, like I'm yishocher, I would not have said the word black. I would have said the first one, yeah. So now that's a case of Torah. That's similar to the case of the Torah with the six Nazirim. He thought things were one way and it turned out it was the other way. And yet this Shammai is saying that it's Hekdesh, which is real Hekdesh Torah. So therefore we see that even in our Mishnah, according to Abaya, you can well say that the Shammai Taka holds Hekdesh based on a real Torah. You don't have to go like Rav Papa, that Torah doesn't mean a Torah, it means a bimodal equivocal statement. It means that he actually made a mistake. He, yeah.
Still
and it's still Hekdesh according to the Shammai.
Yeah. Yeah.
The question is, and we must have Amrit to Kaim B'tiara Asif. How could you say that we're talking about, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he's standing in the middle of the day after the animals have already gone out? Sorry, fine. In the case of the ox, you could repunctuate instead of shayese, you could repunctuate shayasa. Actually, the Rosh has a girsa here that the Gemara asks that explicitly. Does the Mishnah say shayese? And the answer is no. Read it shayasa. Okay, but that one, fine. But how about the second case? What about the Mishnah continues with the case of the gold dinner that will come up? And there it clearly means he hasn't taken anything out of the bag yet. Shayala. Tony Sha'ola. Fine, change the wording of the Mishnah according to Abaya to say not Shayala in future tense, but Sha'ola in past tense.
Yeah,
because Shayala could also mean like an infinitive. The first one, that the first one, Shayala, can mean like not Shayala in the future, but Shayala, the first one that comes out of this, you know, that it came out already. Have a Chobos Choya in Shayala. Same thing, Tony Sha'ola. Same thing. So now the Gemara is going to quote something from according to that then so where are we so far? So according to Abaya, we can understand the Mishnah very well. In all three cases we're talking about, we don't yet have the reason why we need all three cases. We'll get to that after the next bit of Gemara. So far, what we have is, according to Abaya, all three cases are talking about that something was already taken out. The ox already went out. The coin was already taken out. It's past events already. You thought that what was taken out first was the gold coin, and instead it turns out it was a silver coin. And so with the other two cases. So it is a real toast. A real toast. And yet, the Shammai says that it's Hekdesh.
Why do we need two cases of resurrection?
So why we need so that we have three? We have three. We'll talk about that soon. We'll talk about that soon after the next week.
What he meant in a first one, not after Shochet.
Right. So he meant, for example, in this case, that that's the thing. Like
no,
the case. So what was right? Because he was saying, if I had known, for example, that the white ox was going to leave the house,
so
first, then I wouldn't have said black.
Right.
Meaning, therefore the white one, and therefore the white one becomes that fish. Okay. If you have a black ox among a bunch of white, among a herd of white ones, then it's a blemish. Meaning, uchma means dark, or black, b'chivra, among white. Among white animals is lakia, is a blemish. Meaning, if you have a whole herd, you have a hundred white oxen, and you have 99 white oxen actually, and then you have one black one. You're trying to sell them as a lot to somebody. The fact that you have one black one in there brings down the price of the whole lot.
Take out the black one.
If you take out the black one, but that's Rav Chisda basically is advising you don't mix the colors like that. Yeah. Although this is what I was going to say soon, it's not necessarily of course. The border depends on the breed of cow, but wait, we'll get. Okay. And also chibra v'uch malakia. And if you have one black cow, which okay, it's, you know, it may be black, but it's still worth money. But if it has a white spot on the skin, that's also a blemish. A white spot on the skin of an otherwise black cow indicates that it's not a mum as far as halacha necessarily, but it shows that. It shows that it had some kind of skin disease or something, and then it was healed. The Gemara tells a story about it in Gittin, actually, where one of the Chachamim of Sheshet, I think, was served a piece of meat which he noticed. He noticed a spot on it. Sheshet was blind. I don't remember the details of the story. I don't have a chance to look it up, but whatever. There's a spot on a piece of meat over there, and he realizes that this animal, while it was alive, must have had saras, and it was healed. And that's why now this area of the meat looks different than the rest. And then you shouldn't eat it, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually the story. How does it go over there? That the family of the Reish Galusa didn't get along very well with Rav Sheshet, so they were trying to poison him. So when he... Now that I think of it, though, there is a somewhat similar story in Ksubas we had over there. There was a whole story over there about the importance of giving a waiter something to eat from the food. So it mentioned over there that one of the Chachamim was standing when they were bringing in a tabshil for the king, and he stuck his finger in and tasted some, and when they asked him, "Hey, Tacha, you ruined the king's food," he said, I noticed Zaracha over there, yeah. But then the Gemara in Gittin tells it more clearly that Rav Sheshet took a piece of food and like wrapped it up in a napkin and put it aside, and when asked him about it afterwards, he says I could detect that there was the taste of Saras in it, yeah. Anyway. Which it wasn't really, but he just did that in order that he didn't get harmed by the poison anyway. Yeah. Okay. So let's consider the Mishnah. The Gemara says Tnan. How does that fit with our Mishnah? We learned in our Mishnah, Shoshi Shachar Shiyotim Vezirushin Hektish. The first black ox that goes out of my house is Hektish. Now, Chesakadai, the Gemara is assuming at this point, Ki Matish V'Ayin Ra Matish. When a person declares something Hektish, we assume that he's going to try to get away with the minimum of to be yotze his neder of hektish. It's called b'ayin ra, that he has like a bad eye, like a cheat. So a person may well say, I want to declare an animal hektish, but even b'shat maisa, when he declares it, he's going to have in mind the cheapest among his animals, basically. Now, if we assume that, the Amri B'Shamai have a hektish. Now B'Shamai is saying that B'Shamai is saying, according to Abaya's explanation, that because the white one ended up coming out first, or not ended up, in past tense, the white one had come out first, therefore he's saying, fine, that one will be the one that was hektish. I didn't mean to have to say black, I just meant whichever one I thought the black one came out first, but really it was the white. What? If he makdish v'ayin ra makdish, why should we b'chlal assume that he meant the white one? Rav Chisda is telling us that the price of a black one is lower than the price of a white one, so much so that it depresses the value of all the rest of them. So why should we assume he meant to be makdish the white one? So what are you going to argue back? V'ayin ra for makdish. You're going to argue that, let's take the opposite view, that v'ayin ra for makdish, the person wants to be makdish the best quality thing. Well then, how about the second case? Dinah shazav shiyal v'yadudushin v'ala kesef es shamayim v'mehekdish. Gold is worth more than silver. If he's makdish b'ayin yafa, you would have the same thing. What do you mean to say, I thought that it was gold, but it turns out that it's silver, so I'm makdish that one? According to, if we say b'ayin yafa makdish, that wouldn't work. We should still say that the gold one is hekdish. The LMI, so okay, let's go back. Fine, well, not this fine. And in that case, you're going to say, based on the second case, based on the case of the dinner, it sounds like, so far what we have is, based on the first case of the shachar, it sounds like ayin rah. Based on the case of the coin, actually the other way around. Based on the case of the shur, it sounds like buying the other, because that's why he's saying I end up being makdish the white one, which is worth more. Then when it comes to the case of the dinner, you're telling me buying raw makdish.
Why did he say shur?
He said he thought that, but he recognized the hook.
Buying raw, buying the other, so it's possibly.
Fine, but he heard the footprints and he thought that it was a black. Yeah, he made a mistake.
No, he would have chosen differently.
Yeah. The LMI, Bayin Ra, Makdish, fine. So based on the case of the coins, you're telling me then that the assumption is Bayin Ra, Makdish. How about the third case? Chavis Chal Yayin, Shetalab Yod Yushin, V'Ala Shal Shemin, V'Shamayim and Hekdish. Why? Well, Shemin, Adif the Yayin. Oil is worth more than wine. So then you're back to Bayin Yofa Makdish, because he's saying that I wouldn't have said wine if I'd known that the first one I picked up was going to be oil.
You don't need, you know it's
already. Yeah. The answer is, the Gemara says, okay, Yimishim Hall like Tasha, fine. That particular case is not such a Tasha, because the Glila Shonu, because our Mishnah could be talking about in the Galil, the Chamra obviously Mishcha, because there wine is more expensive than oil. The Galil is the major oil producing area of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, the famous story over there about the guy from Ludkia who has to come to Eretz Yisrael to buy oil. Rashi references it in the Zotah Bracha and the Bracha of Asher, where he goes to the guy in Gush Chalav and then in the Galil and ends up buying from him millions of barrels of oil. So the Galil, they had olive trees and they had oil all over the place. Wine was harder to come by. But yes, in the Galil, wine is worth more than oil.
So what's Ayin Yafa in Yehuda is Ayin Ra in Galil, basically.
Yeah.
That's what we say.
Fine. So in the last two cases, we could say that Ayin Ra Makdish, fine. Reisha kasha l'ruch chista, but still, wouldn't the first part of the Mishnah be a kasha l'ruch chista? How can he say that a black ox is worth less than white oxen when in our Mishnah it seems the other way around? If he's going to be makdish by Ayin Ra, then we expect him to be makdish the black one. We don't expect him to be makdish the white one. The answer is amalach l'ruch chista, ki amri v'tora de kaimanoi. Yes, but I'm not talking about oxen in general. I'm talking about a specific breed of oxen, or a specific oxen that come from a specific place. Kaimanoi is the name of the place. In the Samsino Gemara, they say it's an area in Persia. Whatever it is, there, the oxen that come from there, yes, the black ones are worth less than the white ones. In other places in the world, not necessarily.
Why are the white ones worth more than the black ones? What's the reason?
So, and now Rakhista is going to point out that actually each color has a different advantage for certain purposes. Each one is, just like nowadays, yes. Well, that's what we're talking about just now in the Gemara. But, I mean, just like nowadays also, you have cattle that are bred for good meat, ones that are bred for good milk, for good skin, etc. So there you have... So what do we have then? So why Taka do we need the three cases in the Mishnah? So Tosfos says like this. We need the case of the shur actually to tell us. Tosfos says to tell us not Rav Chisda, which I don't know why Tosfos has to say that, considering Rav Chisda himself is only saying about a kaimanoi ox, not other ones. But the first part of the Mishnah tells us not like Rav Chisda, black one, or maybe when he says not like Rav Chisda, he just means the Mishnah is not talking about the kind of place that Rav Chisda is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about a place where black oxen are worth more than white ones. So therefore, when he says, if I'd known the white one went out first, I mean the white one, then we're back to Ayin Ra Makdish. The second case, the Dinah Shazav explicitly tells us that Ayin Ra Makdish, there's no question, silver is worth more than gold. It's worth less than gold, I mean. And the third case, the Chavis Shoyayin, teaches us that you don't go according to most places. You go according to how things are in your specific area. You're in the Galil, where wine is worth more than oil, then you go according to that. You don't say in the rest of the world wine is worth more than oil.
That's why I'm
Yeah, that's where you need all three cases. And Tosfos says, sorry, but okay, that's how they make it. Again, according to Leibniz's explanation, he explains Alpi Kabbalah, the three types of Gura. Rav Chista also said, Uchma l'mashchei, a black ox is best for its skin. Sumka l'bistre, a red ox is best for its meat. Chivra l'ridya, a white ox is best for plowing. Plowing, you plow with ox.
I don't know. I'm not a
cattle breeder. I don't know these things, but whatever it is, maybe it's stronger. You said the what? Oh, the golden calf. Really?
No.
Gold
beef.
That's
my father
had in the farm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jersey cows are not, they have to pasteurize, whereas other cows, my father was for many years, he used to bring a milk, and he didn't have to rent it as a brittle milk.
Interesting. Okay. Rav Leivik also points out, by the way, in this connection, that the initials of the things that Rav Chista is saying over here, the three colors and the three purposes, spells out the initials of his own name, Rav Chista, but in reverse order. Uchma is the aleph. It's used for the skin. He explained that, okay, the skin doesn't begin with a dalet, but he explained that the Kabbalah was a connection between leather and the number four. Sumka is the samach. Bisrei is the beis. Chivra, white, and Ridya is Resh, so it spells out the six letters of Rav Chista. And he explains that's the connection, since we're dealing over here with how your Mavaro, these things of Gvuras, so that Rav Chista, whose name indicates Chesed, has to be the one to tell us about the purposes of the different kinds of oxen out there.
Why is that? Why?
Because Rav Chista represents Chesed,
right.
Being in Chesed, in order to neutralize, you need Chesed in order to neutralize and be Mila Gvuras. So you're telling me then, this last statement of Chista is saying that a black ox has a certain advantage. Its skin is worth more than the skins of other oxen. But didn't Rav Chista say before that a black ox is a defect among white oxen, that it lowers the value? Why? And again, the answer is Piyamid, the Torah, the Kaimanoi. Again, Rav Chista, when he says that a black one is no good, that means a black Kaimanoi ox. But a black Kamunoi ox is bad for it's not as good for plowing. But a regular black ox is has an advantage over any other kind as far as the skin.
Another example is you walk outside.
That was.
You see the difference between and white and one black. You stand out differently.
Well, yeah.
Say,
okay, but that's, animals is not, whatever.
Okay. But animals, I'm glad to be animals.
Yes, okay. All right.
Maximus
Seva. Maximus Seva.